I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, during your childhood wished that you could open at least one of your Christmas presents early, like 2 or 3 weeks early, maybe. In the same way, as we look forward to heaven and all the wonderful things that God has told us we'll enjoy when we get there, we long to be able to enjoy some of those heavenly gifts early while we are still here on earth. Well, actually, God has indeed granted us some heavenly gifts that we can enjoy now. This morning, we'll focus our attention on two of these gifts. If your Bibles are open to Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, would you follow along as I read aloud for us this verse, Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Another chapter further, Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. As we just read in these two verses in Romans, there are two words coupled together that are found in both verses. Did you catch it? The only other verse in the Bible that includes both joy and peace is Galatians 5:22. There is something about both of these heart attitudes or states that go together in a special way, like a package deal or like sisters. This is why we are going to look at both of these concepts together in one message, even though we could easily take each one as a separate message. It's interesting to note that these two states of mind and heart are ones that most, if not all, individuals in the world are searching for regularly. People in this world are looking for security and safety. They try to find it through money, a good income, good retirement program, a nice safe house complete with fire and burglar alarms in a knife-safe neighborhood, and the list goes on. Security and safety. They try to find it through eating the perfect diet, using organic veggies and meats, or maybe no meats at all, that will guarantee no cancer nor other diseases, and that will guarantee a long life. They try to find security and safety through learning karate or other forms of self-defense, or having all the latest gadgets or good luck charms. Listen, there are whole industries out there that thrive on people's fears and desire for security and safety. Not only are they looking for security and safety, people in this world are looking for inner calmness and stability. This is why New Age, or rather repackaged Buddhist or Hindu meditation courses like Tai Chi and Tai Bo and transcendental meditation, not to mention yoga, are so popular today. This is why every idea or concept, no matter how flaky or unproven, is finding a ready audience in today's Western society. Not only is everyone looking for safety and security and inner calmness and stability, people in this world are looking for happiness. This is why the divorce rate has been skyrocketing for the past 90 years. Not only are there legitimate reasons for divorce, like infidelity or abuse, but rather it seems all too many simply have the idea, if my spouse doesn't make me happy anymore, it's time to trade him or her in for a new one. This is why so many people here in Quebec and the rest of North America are living together in sin. Now, it's even easier to trade in an unmarried partner for a new partner as soon as he or she no longer makes them happy. Some people even come to understand the truth that happiness doesn't come from getting what you want, but rather from doing things for others. And so they pursue a career in social work. But even there, they are still looking for some sort of return for their effort. They're looking for gratitude at the very least from those they serve, or perhaps admiration, or at least recognition of some sort from others. Not only is everyone looking for safety, security, inner calmness, stability, and happiness, people in this world are looking for excitement and thrills. Whether it be as unusual as bungee jumping or skydiving, or as common as skiing or snowboarding or whitewater rafting or going on rides in a theme park, people are looking for something that will give them a thrill or an adrenaline rush. Other people look for vicarious thrills from reading an exciting adventure book or watching an action movie or even watching a comedy show. Others look for excitement in harmful or unlawful or even immoral ways. Nevertheless, none of these things in and of themselves can ever truly satisfy or bring true joy and peace. There's always the down after the high. God's joy and peace are quite different from the security, safety, stability, happiness, and excitement that this world offers. As always, when we're studying God's word, we need to make sure we understand what each word in the Bible passage means in the context of the whole of Scripture. Let's define our terms biblically. We know what peace is not. It's not what the world offers. But what exactly is peace? The peace that Christ provides is, first of all, an absolute security about your soul, salvation. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified, declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 27, the Lord Jesus said this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. The peace of Christ is, secondly, an absolute security about his love and care and concern for you every moment of every day. The fact that he will never desert you nor forsake you, as we're told in Hebrews 13, verse 5, that underneath are always his everlasting arms, as we're told in Deuteronomy 33, 27, that whatever may come into your life, he allows for good, for your good, and for his glory, Romans 8, 28. The peace of Christ is, thirdly, a freedom from inner turmoil or worry or other fear. This perhaps is the one area most of us will continue to need to perfect. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 tell us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We also know what joy is not. It's not what the world offers. But what exactly is joy? Joy is a contentment with what you are and have in Christ. That brings a song to your heart, a smile to your lips, a prayer of thanks to the Lord, and an energy to your work. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, we read, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. In Philippians 4, 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Joy can also at times become so full in the heart of a child of God that it seems his heart will burst with the thrill, the delight, the gladness, the jubilation that overflow from the blessings he has in Christ that he has received from God. In John chapter 15, verse 11, we read, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. And 1 Peter 1, 8, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. How do we get this joy and peace? How do we open and enjoy these two early Christmas gifts? Joy and peace are a fruit or result of the Holy Spirit's indwelling and control. Would you turn with me to Galatians chapter 5? And we're going to read verses 22 through the beginning of verse 23, which lists for us the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, that is the result of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you and having full control, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That means that you can't work it up or manufacture it from your own resources. It means you cannot buy it or earn it. I hear of individuals that decide to get a mani-pedi or a massage or some other package that promises relief from stress or other kinds of relief. None of these things will result in joy or peace. Galatians 5:22 also tells us that it is something the Holy Spirit is already working in those who are allowing him to do his work in their hearts. The key to getting a fuller measure of this joy and peace is to let the Holy Spirit do his work by cooperating intelligently with his working in your life. In other words, understanding what he is doing by seeing it in scripture and then working with him, not surrendering mindlessly like robots or like those trapped in cults, but intelligently working with him. I'm sure you've heard me use this illustration before, but I hope it will help you understand the concept. Since my office or study has always been in my home for practical purposes, back in our early years of ministry, pastoring a church in Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia, as our children reached 4 or 5 years old, I was able to add to my ministry work the job of teaching our children both K-5 and first grade, kindergarten 5 and first grade, using homeschool materials. One day, as I was teaching Eileen the alphabet, I was helping her form the letter A by putting my hand over hers as she held the pencil. When she fought my hand and did what she felt like what she wanted to do, the result definitely did not resemble the letter A. But when she looked at the sample letter A and then cooperated with my hand as I moved it, she ended up with a very recognizable letter A. She then looked up with delight and said, "Look, Daddy, at the letter A I made." In the same way, when we see in the Bible what God wants to change us to be, and we then cooperate with the Holy Spirit as He works that change in us, then the result will truly be Christ-likeness. And the fruit of the Spirit, including joy and peace, will flourish in that environment. In view of all that, I urge you to honestly desire God's peace and joy instead of the world's substitutes. Ask God for it, and then depend on Him to give it to you because He promised He would. Notice these promises, John chapter 14, verse 27, where the Lord Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And then John 15:11, again, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full." John chapter 14, verse 27, the Lord Jesus promises us his peace. In John chapter 15, verse 11, the Lord Jesus promises us his joy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, "Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance." And Jude verse 24, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy." God promises us that joy and that peace as we're surrendered to Him. After you desire God's peace and joy instead of the world's poor substitute, and then you ask God for it, and then you depend on Him to give it to you, then obey the Lord in everything. You see, obedience brings joy and peace, whereas disobedience quenches or suppresses the Holy Spirit in your heart and life and dries up the fruit of the Spirit. Christ commanded you to pray and to ask Him for whatever you need. John chapter 16, verse 24, He said, "Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full." Scripture commands us to trust the Lord in everything. How appropriate that we are told in Romans 15:13 that when we do trust the Lord, first for salvation and then daily for everything else, He then gives us joy and peace. Romans 15, verse 13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing," in other words, in trusting Christ, "that you may abound in hope, confident expectation." Remember, that's the definition of hope, "that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Psalm 37, verses 3 through 5, "Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will do it." Christ commanded us to witness to the lost everywhere and get the gospel to every part of the world. When we obey that great commission, He gives us joy. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord Jesus said this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." And in the Old Testament, Psalm 126, verse 6, we're told, "He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed," that's the gospel, "shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." Here, the psalmist pictures sowing the seed of the word of God, specifically the gospel, as a farmer who goes back and forth carrying his bag of seed, sprinkling it over the ground. The fact is that because he put the effort and the time into spreading the seed over the ground, God blesses him with a harvest. And so he will indeed come with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him, the sheaves that he has reaped from that field. In the same way, when we spread the seed of the word of God, the gospel, in hearts of individuals, God will bring a harvest. May we be faithful in giving out the word of God and giving the gospel to those who are lost, especially at this Christmas season. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? In a minute, we'll close the message in prayer. But before that, would you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart through what we've studied in His word today? Perhaps you've listened today realizing that you've been pursuing the world's empty substitutes for joy and peace. You've realized that you need to repent of your sin and turn to Christ alone to save you from your sin and its penalty. Would you talk to me after the service? Let me show you from the Word of God how to make sure you are saved for eternity. If you're listening to this afterward on our website, would you contact me and allow me to show you from the Bible how to be saved, how to make sure that you are saved? Christian, are you cooperating with the Holy Spirit in working in you that joy and peace? Do you honestly desire God's joy and peace? Will you ask Him for it? Will you depend on Him to give it to you as He promised and as you obey His will in every area of your life? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the message from your word that we have taken into our hearts today. I pray, Father, for anyone who may not yet know you personally as Savior. Maybe they know about you. Maybe they have read your word in whole or in part. Maybe they've attended church at some time in their lives, maybe even now. But yet they don't know you personally. They've never repented of their sin and placed their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation from sin and hell. Lord, I pray that you would work in their hearts, that they would not put it off, they would not rationalize it away, but that they would respond to your convicting voice and they would rejoice in trusting in you for salvation and becoming a new creature in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that they need to understand how to trust you as Savior, that they would call me or email me or text me, in some way contact me so that we can talk about it and read from your word and see your plan of salvation. Lord, I pray for those who are saved and yet they have lost their joy, their peace, because sin has entered their life. Disobedience has taken away that joy and peace. Lord, I pray that they would get things right with you today, that they would confess their sin and forsake it and rejoice in your instant forgiveness, your complete forgiveness and washing away of their sin. What a joy it is to belong to you, Lord. I pray that we would come back to you as soon as we realize that we have sinned. And Lord, that you would give us grace to say no to temptation and to commit ourselves to obey you in every area of our lives. I pray now, Lord, that you would do that work that's needed in every heart. May your name be honored and glorified in the result. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.